We will call an intermission between the two sections, so candidates for school district number one will have their opportunity, and then we'll have a short intermission while we change out the signs and provide time for our live streaming to catch up. So I think we're ready to go. So for an opening statement, I have a wireless mic over there, and we're going to start with Lori Joyner.
Hi. This is a very quiet audience, and I just want to tell you thank you for the opportunity to come before you and speak tonight. I came to Pinedale about a year ago. I accepted a position here and decided to make this my permanent home after enjoying the wilderness for the last 14 summers with my husband. And I graduated from a university in Utah with my undergraduate degree in behavioral science and finished up a master's last fall in organizational leadership with an emphasis in ethics. Does everybody here have a cell phone? You can put your cell phone up. Yes. I'd like you to find a picture of a child that is in this school district that you have a relationship to. So if you could quickly do that. I only have maybe 60 more seconds. And hold the picture of that child up. The reason I'm doing this is every child in this school district is my child. Thank you. Thank you for showing me your children. My children are in university right now, so I don't have any children in this school district, and I just want everybody to know that I'm here to represent every child, every grandchildren, and to see that all of our kids have access to the resources that they need to become successful in life and to achieve success. That's what I'm passionate about, student success and strategies that contribute to student success. Thank you.
Thank you, Lori Joyner. Charles Pryor?
Good evening. My name is Charles Pryor. I am a Wyoming native and born and raised in the state. Parents were an engineer and my mother was a math teacher, so growing up understanding a lot about school districts and teachers and what they go through. Graduated the University of Wyoming with a civil engineering degree. Currently a registered professional engineer in civil engineering. Work in the oil and gas industry here and environmental compliance. I have a daughter that is currently in the elementary school, and as Lori also said, I feel that all our kids need to have an opportunity to get a good education in order to get themselves started, give them the best opportunities they can have in life, and the best way to do that is to get their elementary, junior high, high school educations completed and done well and given as many opportunities as possible. So I'm been on the school board now for a little over 4 years and would like to continue to serve and be able to help give our kids that opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you, Charles. Maureen Dempsey.
Good evening. My name's Maureen Dempsey, and I'm a retired teacher. I taught at the elementary, middle school, and high school level for 30 years in rural areas. I started my career on the Wind River Indian Reservation and lived in Lander for 10 years and then ended up in northern Nevada and came back and retired in Pinedale. I was involved with student leadership and coached and did a variety of different things, so I realized how much difficult it is to be a teacher and be involved with a lot of different aspects of school. I have a grandson in kindergarten, and I'm a true believer in public education and helping all students and supporting the administrators and teachers and the parents and the kids. And I have the ability to collaborate with other people, and I'd be happy to serve for it.
Thank you, Maureen Dempsey. Okay, the first question is going to go to Charles. What do you see as the top priorities for school district number one for the next 3 years?
The top priority I feel for the school district is to go ahead and continue with the strong educational programs that we have, making sure that we're providing with the funding that we're able to get from the state and maintain our high level of education. and high level of training that we're able to give our students. It's one of the school districts that's very outstanding in the state as far as being able to provide those opportunities for our kids.
Thank you. And pass it on to Maureen. Again, what do you see as the top priorities for school district Sublette County School District number one for the next 3 years?
I would agree with Charles that trying to maintain the high standards of the school district, and also I imagine that the funding is going to be a challenge from the state level, and so we're going to have to look at that, and trying to encourage teachers to get trained in areas where they need training and provide as many programs that are relevant to the students' needs.
Thank you. If you could pass back down. That was Maureen Dempsey and Lori Joyner. The same question. Do you need it again?
I would say preparing for growth. This is an amazing, amazing community, and great things are happening in our country right now. So I primarily concur with our current board member here, but I do see opportunities for internalizing and planning for growth. I know long-term plans are important, but short-term, I see growth. So that's in addition to what our current board member just stated, I would add growth to that. I know that our board is already working on that, but I do see opportunities, a lot of people coming in, a lot of children coming in, and, you know, second, we have some amazing educators in both school districts, and so I'd like to see even more wonderful individuals come in, and as we accommodate the growth or plan for growth in the short term, I think we'll be able to attract those educators that want to come here and make a life and bring their talents and gifts and education to our community to, again, support student success and helping our children achieve or make those big step achievements that they're going to need to succeed in life and to prepare them for the world that's ahead.
Thank you. And Maureen is next. So Maureen Dempsey, with Sublette County School District number one having an increase in student population, what challenges does this present?
Having smaller classroom sizes, and I realized the kindergarten class was quite large. They had to add a teacher so that classrooms, you know, teacher ratio, student ratio stayed small. Accommodating students with different needs, that might be, you know, special needs, or it might be language learners, and trying to make sure that you're providing the services that they need. Also, if just making sure that you have enough programs and enough qualified people to teach the programs.
Thank you. And Charles? Same question. With school district number one having an increase in student population, what challenges does this present?
Some of the challenges that having more students presents is, as Maureen says, is student-to-teacher ratio, being able to have enough teachers to be able to handle those students. It's also increase in facilities, increase in opportunities for the kids becomes a little more difficult with larger. Some of it also has to do with funding, has to do with the special needs, depending upon the type of student that's necessarily there. Anything from sports to just general population, bring them in. Having that increase definitely does make some things difficult in coordination with the students. So.
Thank you. And pass it back to Lori for the same question.
The challenges that I see would be coordinating services with our community to meet the needs of the students who are coming into the district. While I truly believe that our school district is phenomenal, we have some other amazing resources in this community. And with growth can also come challenges that don't primarily have to do with funding or resources at the school district level, but resources within the community. So I see communication between the various agencies and providing those resources, for example, Coordinated Care Committee, Prevention Coalition. With growth can come some negative challenges. So I see communication as being key and bringing together all the stakeholders in our community that contribute to student success and education in our county as a very important challenge. We need to come together and bring all of our resources together because the school district can't do it all. They can't provide all the services and all of the resources. As a community, we can collaborate with the school district and bring what we have together to meet those needs and face that challenge.
Okay, thank you. And the next one goes to you, Lori, first. What have you done to prepare for the role of school board member?
I have a broad background in education. I come from a university of 34,000 students, 34,000 plus students. I made Pinedale my home, my permanent residence, about a year ago. In working with students, I started out in secondary education, moved to higher education, and now in my capacity as the director for Big Brothers Big Sisters here in Sublet County, I work a lot with elementary school students and secondary education students. I also have a master's in organizational leadership with an emphasis on ethics. Not that we have an issue with ethics, but I bring the strength of leadership as a servant leader. I've been on a listening tour for a year, listening to community members, business leaders, civic leaders, religious leaders, and I'm just amazed at the hearts and the giving nature of the people within our county and community. So I bring the desire to learn, to listen, and to contribute to this community, as well as my education experience in academic leadership.
Thank you, Lori Joyner. And Charles Pryor, what have you done to prepare for the role of school board member?
I'd say a lot of my preparation has been attending conferences with the National School Board Association, also with the Wyoming School Board Association over the last 4 years to try to help better my understanding of what we need to do, what we can do. Some of our governmental requirements are things that tie our hands that we can't have, we don't have ways around that, and figuring out ways to help do things better within those restrictions and take care of that kind of stuff. So a lot of my preparation has been, since I've been on the school board, research, studying, you know, that kind of stuff, and going to conferences. So thank you.
Thank you, Charles Pryor. Maureen Dempsey, what have you done to prepare for your role as a school board member?
I also have a master's in educational leadership, and throughout my career I was on a lot of committees working with other teachers, people in different areas to try to get things accomplished. I am a certified mediator, so I've learned how to work through problems and try to come up with solutions and work together with other people.
Thank you, Maureen. Charles, you're up next, up first. How do technological advances affect the education system?
Technological advances can be very difficult to handle, very difficult to deal with. When you start talking about things like social media, things like that, it becomes a difficult thing sometimes to handle in the school situation. Dealing with things like bullying and those kind of things. But on the other hand, the other thing that's good about it is it's an excellent, excellent way of doing research. It's a good tool for the kids to be able to get resources to help. It's something that's up and coming in our society. There's no ways around it. It's going to be here. So making sure that our kids understand it, understand how it is, how to use it correctly rather than using it incorrectly, and being able to use the tool in order to advance themselves and get better is very important in what we have going on in our school systems today. And Pinedale does a very good job of that.
Thank you, Charles. To Maureen. Same question, how do technological advances affect the education system?
Well, I think it does provide the students with a 21st century experience, but I think it's also challenging in the fact that making sure they know how to use the technology, and then it's also always a challenge to keep current with computers and tablets and finding funding for that, and but the students need to have experience with it, and they need to understand how to use it correctly and how to be mindful about what they're putting out there. And it's also challenging for teachers sometimes to try to get their attention because it's so much quicker for them to track things on their phones and stuff like that. But, you know, there are already Pinedale's apparently working with that with its cell phones. That was always challenging the last couple of years I was teaching, trying to make sure students were using them correctly and ethically.
Thank you. Could you pass that back to Lori? Lori Joyner, how do technological advances affect the education system?
I don't know that I could add anything to what the others have addressed tonight. It comes back to good behavior, healthy behaviors, and teaching our children and preparing them for the world to come. From a personal experience, when I was finishing my master's, without this technology, I would not have been able to complete my master's while being a professional working adult. And it's coming. It's just the way of the world. So I think if we can just build or develop, which we have within this district, the continuance of those healthy behaviors and preparing them for not just personal life and professional life, but for academic life in the years to come, because a lot of education is going to be delivered through that platform. So, again, I don't really think I can contribute anything significant to what these two have already stated, other than just sticking with the programs we already have in instituting and developing and cultivating healthy behaviors when it comes to social media, internet, et cetera.
Thank you. Back to Maureen. Maureen Dempsey, how do you ensure students are safe in our local schools?
Well, I think that has to be a collaboration between the school board, the staff, the local law enforcement agencies, and the administrators would have to have a say about that. Of course, we want all of our children to be safe. That's a tough one because you don't want to turn schools into jails, and you want the kids to be safe. So a lot of it does have to do with education, too, having the students feel like they're safe enough to tell an adult if they suspect that there's some kind of threat out there, and somebody can be there to talk to them about it, and it can be acted upon. But there has to be a plan, and it has to be a collaboration between all those other groups.
Thank you. Back to Lori for the same question.
Could you please ask the question
again? Sure. How do you ensure students are safe in our local schools?
I cannot ensure the safety of our students in our schools. However, I do agree with Maureen that collaboration between the various agencies, whether that be law enforcement, school district, educators, see something, say something. I think it's unfortunate that our students and parents have to worry about safety when a school is an environment of learning and discovery and adventure. And to think a child, you know, has to think about that when they walk through the doors, it's just sad, but it's a sign of our times. As far as what the district is doing, I think a lot of great controls are already in place. So checking your children at the door, it's unfortunate we have to go through certain screening procedures, but those are mechanisms that will help to keep our students safe. But again, it goes back to collaborating, see something, say something. Not any one of us in this room can keep our children safe unless we're going to keep them at home and the doors are bolted and locked and we keep the kids inside. So again, collaboration and then just see something, say something. So,
thank you. And Charles Pryor?
School safety is definitely, as we all know, very important nowadays. One of the things that our school district does is we have really good collaboration with the local law enforcement. We do trainings with the teachers, with the law enforcement. We're in the process of looking at other security systems, camera systems, being able to lock down certain areas, things like that, trying to do what we can in order to be able to provide safety for our students, provide comfort for the the parents that are sending their students to our schools to make sure that when the students are in our care, we're doing the best we can to make sure that they're safe, they feel comfortable, and parents know that they're going to be taken care of.
Thank you. Charles, and next question. Back to Lori for the next question. The Pinedale Aquatic Center has relied heavily on the rec mill levied by the school district. The PAC is not currently guaranteed a specific amount of funding annually. What solutions do you propose?
What solutions do I propose?
Yes.
I'm aware that the PAC is currently undergoing some fundraising efforts on their own. So I personally feel that what they're doing in reaching out to the community and having fundraisers within the community is the best way to go, because the community has skin in the PAC. The community uses the PAC, the services, the programs, the facilities. So I foresee that fundraising efforts on a collective level at the PAC, and then again within the community, as being the answer to fund the PAC. And so that's my answer.
Thank you. That was Lori Joyner. Charles Pryor, same question. Would you like it repeated?
No.
Okay.
I would say that some of the stuff that, as you know, the funding isn't necessarily guaranteed because of the way the mill works. As Lori said, fundraising is a good way to go. Community, inside the community, outside the community. There's also possibilities for grant writing, things like that, to try to help back some of that, making sure that, you know, the county, the town, everybody's involved with it, trying to make sure that everybody's on board, everybody's part of what's going on there. It's a great facility. I can tell you that's unique for this size of community. There's nothing out there like it, and trying to make sure that it continues on and continues to grow and continues to provide for our community. We all have to kind of work together. It's a collaborative effort for sure.
Thank you, Charles. And Maureen Dempsey?
Do you mind repeating that?
Sure, it's a long question. The PAC has relied heavily on the rec mill levied by the school district. The PAC is not currently guaranteed a specified amount of funding annually. What solutions do you propose?
Well, I know they already created the Friends of the PAC, and they're putting on that zombie run, so they're doing the fundraising that these two talked about, and also that senior citizens aren't free anymore, which most of us that go over there and play pickleball, we're fine with that. And then I agree with Charles that grants, if they have the opportunity to do that, and fundraising, which isn't always real fun, but you know, they seem to be doing a lot of the stuff that they need to be doing right now, and it is a great place.
Thank you. And now for closing statements, and Charles, you get to start.
Well, I thank you all for giving me the opportunity to come here tonight to talk with you. I really appreciate the opportunity that I've had for the last little over 4 years to be able to serve the district and serve the community in order to help make sure that our students have the best opportunity that they can and make sure that we can give them the most opportunities that we can in order to be able to develop them at a young age. Thank you.
Thank you, Charles. And Maureen Dempsey, final comments?
Yes, I'd like to thank you for coming out tonight, too. And I'm willing to dedicate the time and to do trainings to become a good board member, and I also appreciate the fact that, you know, to try to keep the opportunities available for our students and to try to grow as a school district and work with BOSEs and the PAC for viable solutions, and I'd be happy to serve. Thank you.
Thank you, Maureen Dempsey and Lori Joyner.
I primarily threw my hat into the ring here at the school district when I learned that during the last election there were write-ins. And as an individual who is passionate about student success and student success strategies, I couldn't just sit back and wait to see what happened. And so I threw my hat in the ring. Whether I'm elected or not is really irrelevant. What is important is that you get out, you vote, and you vote for the individual that is going to represent our students in this school district. And I, too, thank you for coming tonight and listening. And, again, I support our local school board district, and I look forward to the opportunity of serving in any capacity I can, whether elected or not. Thank you.
Thank you, Lori Joyner. Okay, and that concludes this section. We will need about 5 minutes intermission to change out candidate name tags. So take a little break. We'll be right back with you.